Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to the Epoko Training Podcast. Particularly if you're tuning in for the first time, those that have been installed with us at Epoko Training, friends of the podcast for a while, will know that I do this in my mother tongue, Xhosa, but today I am doing it in English because I don't think Xhosa is this mother tongue. My guest today is Es, and I am completely fangirling, have been fangirling over her content on the interwebs. She, like me, is passionate about personal finances and turning our stories around. And so I feel so privileged to be chatting to a supporter and sister, really, because, like I said, I do my podcast in Xhosa and she does not speak Xhosa as far as I know, but she supported the work and liked and shared and been just a cheerleader, which I've appreciated. And we've never met in person, but we'll get to why we are chatting today. But Es, please introduce yourself and say hi to friends of Epoko Trainee. And just tell us a little bit about how you started tweeting and talking on the interwebs about money.
Hi, and thank you for having me. And hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be chatting to you today, Babalwa. This has been a long time in the making. I love your content. I love the message that you share. And this is really, as a Black woman in South Africa, who am I? I'm Esther. I'm a mother of two. I work full time. I also enjoy sharing my financial journey on social media, just sharing how I started, where I started. And I feel like it's just empowering to know about how to manage your finances. Nothing is as powerful as knowing how to manage your money and how using money as a tool can take you further along than you have ever imagined.
So, yes, we were just talking offline about the fact that this conversation is like eavesdropping on friends catching up on the couch. It's not meant to reflect any professional positions or anything to do with our partners, employers, etc. We are educated though. We are not fakes, and we don't take people's money on the internet, but we just like sharing our own journey. So you will get to a part in this conversation where you realize you may need financial advice or a professional service because we're not meant to replace that. But I know it's that you also run a savings challenge annually. Like, what is it that made you use things like the savings challenge? Because I know you also like ETFs, etc. And so is it a case where you think you can't save money on your own, or like, what's the 350 challenge about to you?
So, the 350 rand per week savings challenge started because people always ask me, where do I start? I'm interested in knowing about bettering my financial journey, my finances, I miss, and I just want a place to start, somewhere where I can start something easy, something that I can implement. And as I was thinking, I started this on my own, first of all, 4 years or 5 years ago, just saving 350 rand a week. And the whole idea was to get into the habit, because with anything that, when it comes to finances, people can tell you about how to save money, how to invest money. But unless you actively start doing it, implementing it, that's where the magic happens. And I wanted to show practically what does it mean when you put away 350 rand every week on a weekly basis. Even if you, whether you feel like it, you don't feel like it, you put that money away. And the excitement that all of a sudden starts happening when every Friday, you looked forward to every Friday just putting away that 350. I think for me, it was to say, you know what, we work hard during the year. We look forward to December. December in South Africa is an event. It's just not a month, it's a whole event. And usually people are broke in Jan. And one of the ways I thought is, listen, if we can get into the habit of putting away whatever amount, I always say 350, but I know people's financial positions vary. And 350 was just the start. You can decide whatever amount you want to start with, whatever you can afford with. There are some who are saving 350, there are some who are saving 100 rand. There's some that are saving more than 3,500 a month. Just as an example, but it was the idea that, you know what, small habits, big returns. You can institute small habits in your daily lives, in your weekly lives when it comes to your finances. And at the end of the year, you'll be better off than when you started the year. So at the beginning of the year, the following year, most of the participants, we save about 15,400 by the end of November. And most people pay school fees. with that money. Most people, survive January with that money. Most people start the year off stronger in the following year, having that 15,400 to start the year. So for me, it was just more than, let's see what can happen, but let's build healthy financial habits. And saving is the cornerstone for me. If you want to start investing, saving is the cornerstone that you first need to master before you can move on to the other steps in your financial journey.
And it's not like you don't know other fancier ways or more sophisticated ways to grow your money, but the 350 challenge has still got a part to play as well in the entire mix, right? It's not because you don't know about ETFs and tax-free savings accounts and that you've got absolutely all of your money in this 350 challenge.
No, absolutely. So I always like to think of different parts of this financial journey, right? There is the, paying your credit, whatever it is, your loans, your credit, whatever, it's the debt repayment portion. There's the savings portions. The savings fits into the short term. Anything less than a year, less than 5 years that you're saving towards. Could be a car, could be a deposit towards your house, it could be money that you need next year, money you need that you need for a holiday, money that you need to assist someone. It's short term, right? That fits into the second box. And then there's almost this other box, I like to think of it as a third bucket. Third bucket is more long term, longer term. So it's where your tax-free investment accounts fall in. It's your discretionary investments that you're investing for longer than 5 years. Then it's your professionally managed investment products like your retirement annuity, your pension fund, your longer term that you leave it to the professionals to manage for you. So I like to think of it as different buckets, and each bucket plays a role in terms of your overall finances. And that's how I like to think about it. And that's how I like to simplify things a little bit. So savings falls into but one of the buckets that you would need as part of your overall financial suite of things that you must have as an individual.
So guys, if tweets about a whole lot of things, property investing mistakes, drama with tenants, which I know I've had. I know she likes certain platforms, I know she likes ETFs. That's not to say that which has worked for her is necessarily going to work for you, even if you start today, because she didn't start today. A, you can hear she's built her muscles. She's got different components to her plan. And I know that she doesn't go into anything blindly, like she researches. I think it's very important is that you just talk, because a lot of people love tax-free savings accounts and ETFs. But just talk very quickly before we get into the tweets that got us here about just the importance of doing your own research and due diligence before you put your money into something.
Personal finance is personal. Let's start there. No one person is the same. Your goals and my goals are different. So is every other person's goals and ambitions when it comes to their finances. And it's very important when you're looking at any product, any investments, any financial products, whatever it is that you're looking at, to understand yourself. Understand what is it that you want from whatever product or investments, whatever you're doing, what is it that I want? And I always start there. When I started my journey, I always thought, what do I want in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, in the next 20 years? What does my financial future look like? And that was a starting point to say, okay, in the next 5 years, what do I seek? I want to be financially well. And what does financially well mean to me? I want to be able to go on holiday, if that's what it is. I want to be able to go to Durban, for example. I've got two kids. If we do school holidays, I want to go to Durban. I want to go to Cape Town. And then I started working towards that goal. So that's towards, it's a long-term goal. It's 10-year goal. So look at your goals, your long-term goals. What do they look like? What does S's future look like? Financially, what does it look like? Is it my kids are grown? They've gone to varsity. Can I be able to afford that for them? Do I want to be retired, if that's what it means? I subscribe to financial independence, being financially independent, not being reliant on one source of income to be able to survive. Those are things that I literally had to think about myself and say, what do I want? And then work backwards and say, okay, what does then that look like? I'm employed. So I have a pension fund or provident fund. If you're employed, you have that. That's fine. But when you look at the statistics, you hear, listen, only 6% of South Africans will be able to retire based on what they're putting away. And it's the statistics that has scared me for a while. So I knew that for me, my pension would not be enough to the for the type of financial goals I had. So then I had to look at ways to then say, okay, if that's not going to be enough, what else can I do to supplement that? Do I need to increase my pension, for example, contribution? Was I in a place to afford that contribution? What did my financial future look like, and how can I work backwards? And then to also say, what is my risk profile? Which is very important. I know people that are fine with pension funds and provident funds, which is okay because that's what they deem to be financial wellness. For me, it wasn't. So understanding what is my risk profile, what sort of things am I willing to invest in? What sort of things am I not willing to invest in? What does reward look like? So if I'm investing in something, what does the reward look like? Is it, let's say, is it increasing return of, let's say, 7%? Is it going to beat inflation? When you look at inflation, what does inflation look like? Because if your investment products is not beating inflation, you're actually moving backwards, right? So it needs to at least be beating inflation. So whenever I look at investments and what I'm investing, even my pension fund or my provident fund, I look at the statements twice a year. It's very important for you to understand what is it invested in? How are the returns looking like? Are they beating inflation? What are the fees am I paying? What sort of fees am I paying? If I'm contributing, and I'm just using an example, if I'm contributing 2,000 rand to this investment product, is, let's say, 10% of that going to fees? Then that actually erodes the 2,000 rand that I'm putting away. So it's very important for you to look at what is good for me, what will give me the type of returns I need, and the type of growth I need to where I want to be in the next 10 years, so that, I'm financially well. I'm okay. I'm able to take care of my bills. I'm able to take care of my kids. In my case, I have kids. I'm able to be financially live well and not be stressed about money on a month-to-month basis. And those are the steps I sort of took for myself to understand what it means to be investing. And I always share this, right? I'll never forget on 702, during July Savings Month, about in 2018, I was driving home from work around 6 p.m. And after 6 p.m., there's this show on Bruce Whitfield's show, 702, just after 6. He was talking to this lady called Super Saver Julia, and she actually inspired me to start because I heard her story and I thought she's a female. We can do it. We know our mothers, our mothers are part of stock fields. Our mothers were part of all these things that they tried to do to better our financial future. I heard her story, and she was basically, she was obviously far ahead. She'd been investing for quite some time, and she'd grown her money over a period of time by being consistent in terms of her contribution, and her money over time had grown. And I was so inspired by that story because I thought, you know what, on a monthly basis, I usually spend on things I usually don't need. You know, those things that look nice, but at the end of the day, you can't even identify what you spend your money on. And I realized, you know what? Let me put this to the test. And I love putting things to the test, right? I started off with 500 rand, and I said, okay, if this lady did this, let me start with 500 rand. Let me equip myself. So I listened to podcasts. I read books. I read anything that had to do with saving and investing, that was me.
Because we
I was
do live in the
involved.
information age, right? It's not too difficult if you are looking to find good resources.
Absolutely. There's resources out there. I think you have to take a keen interest. And for me, we need money to survive. Why not take a keen interest in how money works so that you know how to use money effectively? And the thing, the misconception we have is you need a lot of money to to start investing. You need a lot of money to be financially well off. And I've read stories. I can't really remember the name right now. The janitor in the US, obviously we're not in the US, but I'm just giving this as an example. You know, this janitor was very good with his money. So he would get a small amount, but he was very consistent in terms of saving, and he would talk to people in the investment world and be putting on a, you know, on a monthly, I think on a yearly basis, he was putting money away. And when he passed away, he was able to give quite a lot of his money. People actually found out that he was actually well to do financially because of certain principles that he had carried out over the
And
course of his life.
a janitor is like a caretaker, just to put it into our context. So that's someone who was just determined that with the little that I have, I am going to change the trajectory of those that I love.
Absolutely. So, you know, I always give this example. You know, I always bring it back. There's this app, there's a compound calculator that you use. And I'll never forget, someone said, you know, if you invest 500 rand when your child is born every month until they're over 65, every month 500 without stopping, I think your child ends up with over 9 million rands to their name. But it has to do with time, because whenever it comes to investments, it's time. The longer you have to invest, the more money you can earn, the more return you
Even
can
if it's just bank interest, because if it
earn.
compounds, it's interest upon interest that you are adding to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for me, it's taking those lessons and realizing money compounds. That is the most, I know Albert Einstein said it's the eighth wonder of this world. It really is. And the moment you start understanding that, and the moment you start implementing, because, you know, I speak to a lot of people and you can see the excitement. You can see, you know, okay, this is possible, because what I share, I want people to know the practicality of it. And sometimes that's why I'm willing to be a bit vulnerable. It's never to brag, right? It's always to say, this is what's possible. I know people always say, but where do I start? You know, people talk about all these fancy things. Where do I start? And that's why sometimes I'm vulnerable and share, especially on Twitter and Instagram, and I share the practicalities of what I've actually done. Because for me, growing up, I don't know about you, I didn't know any Black females that were doing this. I had no role models from a financial investing perspective. Now there's people like us, there's people like you who have podcasts like this that are talking about this openly. But before, there wasn't this much information. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing, so that people realize it is possible. It's not something that we're just talking about. And that's why sometimes I try and be very practical and share snippets of what I'm able to share to say, hey guys, this is actually what is happening with my own portfolio.
So the tweet that got us here, because I have been following your work for a while, and that was where you talked about, do you think your bank's rewards and putting them towards investment? I mean, and I know that it's not necessarily, I mean, you have put the name of the bank that you work out there, but I think you're not necessarily telling people, go and bank with my bank. You are
No,
saying
absolutely.
we spend money, we swipe our card, but at least this is what I'm taking away from it. Else you swipe your card, you can make sure that you get some of that spend back if you spend at the places affiliated with your bank, number one. Number two, I know I used to buy CDs back in the day and with redemption. And then sometimes I use them towards flights, but you were saying you can use them to top up your investment. And I thought about this, I'm like, that is actually like free money in a way.
So,
Yeah, go for it.
yeah,
Trying to find the
so,
peach.
you know, yeah, no, during COVID, I think one of the things, and I think we've seen it, our finances have been impacted. Inflation has caught us. Food is now more expensive than what we thought. Medical aid has gone up. Our salaries are growing, but they're not growing as fast, right? So one of the things, and I actually got it from, you know, I have to give a shout out to Tez. He's also on Twitter. That also got me onto the idea. I knew about it, but I think when I saw his Twitter, I also was inspired to say, hey, I can actually do it. So then I started looking at, one of the things that a report that was done is that people are looking for value. People are looking to find how can I create value with what I'm already using. And one of the ways that I've been able to do this is through banking rewards. We often underestimate what we can do with those bank rewards. So one of the ways is I actually went and studied, right? And I said, okay, which tier? Because most of these bank rewards have tiering systems to them that you can earn so much points if you use this, if you do this and that. So then I said, okay, let me put this to the test. I always put things to the test. So I then started using the various products. I started using the retailers because they are program retailers that if you use them, you get more points. If you swipe, for example, your credit card, and I'm no advocate for credit card because I pay off my credit card within 55 days. So I know how to use this, and I'm not advocating anyone does this either. But I found that the more I used the retailers, affiliated retailers, the more I swipe my cards at certain fueling stations, the more I used, and those products, I use them in any case, right? So it's my check account, it's various things that I use on my bank account.
So
I realized that I was.
you're not going out because, Jay, you were going to go and buy those things.
Yes.
You just decided to use, because every bank credit card has 55 days interest free. And you just decided, okay, I'm going to go there to buy what I would buy anyway so that I can get points back and move between levels or tiers. And then once I've gotten to a certain tier, instead of spending at the same place where I earn these points, I'm rather going to convert them to South African rand and then move them to the investment. Is that like an accurate?
That's an accurate. So every month I earn between 500 and 700 rand from using my literally what I would have spent on a monthly basis. So there's certain behaviors. For example, I used to pay my rates and taxes online. Now I don't do that because I don't get most points. So I go into a shop. It's a little bit of an inconvenience, but when I do go shopping, that's when I also pay for my rates and taxes, for example, at the till. So there's certain behaviors that I've had to adjust, but it's nothing I wouldn't have done out of the norm. The fueling station at a particular fueling station because I get more points. So on a monthly basis, I earn between 500 and 700 rands on a monthly basis. I literally then redeem those points. After the first day of the month, I redeem those points. And when I redeem these points, I redeem them in such a way that I redeem them in an investment account that allows me to buy exchange traded funds.
Wow. Wow.
I
Wow.
started this.
Wow.
I started this around May, June last year. And I literally, I'm not joking when I say from June last year until end of February, I've been able to accumulate over 13,000 rand in investments in that account
And
because of those rewards.
you're not doing anything that you wouldn't have done. You
No, I'm
just
not doing
worked
anything.
the system.
I've worked the system. I need to make the system work for me. Listen, this is about making your money work for you. That
I'm
for me
sorry,
is so
but
important.
if I had that drum roll and boo 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 boo. Because I'll confess, like, I am not good at working the system, like, with rewards. I need to be cleverer about it. I can't even tell you. I mean, I see this one provider that says because you got healthy food, you got the smash per month. And I know that when I go swipe, I must pay for the chocolate separately. But you have, like, this is science. You refined it down to a science. And you've been intentional about accumulating from June last year until February this year. Doing what you would have ordinarily done anyway, and just didn't buy new shoes every month. But, just moved it into an ETF.
And that's the beauty of being intentional about your finances. And I love the small things. 350, small habits. The redeeming of points, of reward points, small habits. Sometimes when it comes to financial freedom and being financially independent, we like to think of these big big wow things that you have to do. And I like to bring it down to a smaller level. What are the things that you do on a monthly basis that you can take advantage of to allow you to save and invest? And that's the spirit with which I love to share, because people love to think they have to go out there and do all these big, amazing things in order to be financially free. They're waiting for that one big break,
Or that
either
business
to
that
win
opposed
the
the
lotto.
Porsche.
To get the Porsche, to get the whatever. But actually, the biggest wins when it comes to finances is the small things, the small habits. That's why I like to say small habits, big rewards. Small things, big rewards. It's those small things that you overlook that over time, over the years, actually can propel you and your finances forward. I remember telling you now the 500 rand over 65 years doing that. 500 rand, you spend it at a movie. You spend it in a week, you would spend that money. You would buy whatever it is. But there's beauty in doing small things and doing them well over time, and it compounds. We spoke about compounding. And I think for me, that's what I'm passionate about, because people tend to overlook the small things and think, this is too small for it to go anywhere. But it actually works in the long run.
Listen, you changed my life. I'm going to work the system. I'm going to be clever about working the system. I'm going to audit a multi-bank when I audit which of my providers offer the best reward system. And hopefully the next time we chat, I can tell you how many points I'm earning every month and that I've actually redeemed them into my ETF. I love the spirit with which you share. I am not as bold and as vulnerable as what you are. But I really admire how you take it into your journey and how you've taken the time today to share with us on the proper training. So thanks for coming through. I really, really appreciate your time. If anyone who's listening to us is interested in following your work and your content, how do they do that?
So I usually tweet when I do have time. It's been a bit busy lately, but they can follow me in Emukumbo, so Emukumbo on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm also on TikTok, though I haven't put it out a lot on TikTok. And I'm also on Facebook, and I'm also on YouTube. But YouTube, I'm not as active, but they can follow me there.
Yeah, no, I've also been vulnerable of late about how difficult it is to put content out there. But thanks again for joining us. And thanks to all in stock with us at Global Training, all our friends. Keep tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and don't forget to follow us. And we'll see you next time on Global Training.